Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you, and it is another day of our football rundown. We are covering and getting perspectives on some of the free agents that have agreed to terms with the New York Giants. Again, as we've been saying all week, they have agreed to terms. They have not officially signed. The contracts that have been reported are all pending physicals. So until the physicals are done and the signatures are on the dotted line, they're not official. But hey, we could still go ahead and talk about it, right? So let's turn our attention today to the two Green Bay Packer linebackers who the Giants agreed to terms with. And who better to help us break it all down than Peter Bukowski? He is the host of the Locked On Packers podcast. And Peter, thank you so much for taking some time to speak with us today.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
So, Peter, before we get into the specific players, what I'd like to do, Patrick Graham was the linebackers coach for the Packers, I think, in 2018 before he went to the Dolphins the following year as their defensive coordinator. What can you tell us in general about how the linebackers were coached and deployed in Packers defense so that maybe we can get an idea of how they might be used in the Giants defense?
Yeah, so one thing that particularly the outside linebackers were asked to do is play a little bit of everywhere. Kyler Fackrell was asked to rush the quarterback. He was asked to drop. He was someone who, you know, blitzed as an A-gap interior player. And, you know, I think what we saw this past season is the ideal fit of someone like Kyler Fackrell being able to do a little bit of everything. He has the athleticism to play here, there, and everywhere. In terms of what he wanted the inside linebackers to do, and again, this goes back to what Mike Patton is trying to accomplish, because Blake Martinez does not have the sideline-to-sideline range of, you know, some of these top cover linebackers, he was asked mostly to play as a spy in the middle of the field. He played some center zone, but also just sort of underneath, making sure that either the quarterback's not running or the back is not leaking out of the backfield, those kinds of things. It's certainly not anything earth-shattering or something that's going to seem out of the norm for Giants fans watching.
In terms of Graham's coaching style, I don't know, how involved was he with the overall Packers defensive game plan when he was there?
Well, in terms of game planning, I mean, Patton is where these things start and end. In terms of the coaching that they're receiving, it's more about technique. It's more about scouting. It's more about that from that standpoint. But I will say that especially, for example, in the draft process, Mike Patton gave his staff a lot of leeway to say, these are the players that I like. These are the kinds of things that I'm looking for in a player. And he is one of those guys who is very communicative, and this being Mike Patton, players love him in part because I think he lets everyone do their job, and that goes for coaches as well. So he's not going to micromanage anybody. He's going to let you do what you think is best within the confines of what he's being asked, what he's asking of them, excuse me.
Okay, so let's turn to the first of the two linebackers that the Giants brought in, and I want to start with Kyler Fackrell, because this is a guy who, I believe in 2018, he had double-digit sacks. I think, I want to say 10, was it?
Yep, 10 and a half.
10 and a half, okay. So then the following year, the Packers go and they add Za'Darius Smith, they add Preston Smith. Fackrell's role kind of dropped down. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it starts with the fact that those sack numbers are misleading. And what I mean by that is when you look at pressures, for example, the rate at which a player converts pressures to sacks is inconsistent year to year. Sack numbers by that are variable. Pressure numbers tend to hold more constantly. The difference between a pressure and a sack is often a split second. Kyler Fackrell in 2018 was unsustainable in the frequency with which he converted his pressures. His pressure numbers, in fact, were not that different this last year than in 2018. He just happened to get fewer sacks. And I think that that's not a a boost for his 2019 campaign. I think it is in some ways a knock on his 2018 campaign because, as I said, it was an unsustainable rate. When you look at the Pro Football Focus numbers for him, Kyler Fackrell had 25 pressures in 2019 and only converted, I think, one sack here. Well, he only had, 21 pressures in 2018, and yet he converted like 10 sacks. So that's the difference, is the rate is what has gone unchanged, and yet the sack numbers changed drastically.
So in terms of the contract that he reportedly received from the Giants, it looks like it's a 1 year prove it type of deal, mm-hmm. which I'm guessing, you know, based on what you observed, aligns with where he's at this point.
Yeah, I think so. You know, he has not been given the opportunity to go out and prove that he can be the kind of every down player that, you know, maybe a team would want him to be, or at least that he thinks that he can be. You know, he had his role subverted last year with the arrival of two really, really good players. That's to be expected. Now, if he's going to come in and anchor, you know, that defense in New York as a pass rusher, he's going to get the opportunity to prove that. I actually think, and you go back to Joe Judge, who comes from the Brian Flores, Matt Patricia, Bill Belichick school here. Kyler Fackrell in a sort of Kyle Van Noy role is probably where he's best suited. Someone who can rush a little bit, who can cover a little bit and do a little bit of everything. I'm excited to see how the Giants use him this year.
What do you think would be the best way to use him?
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, if he's going to rush and hold your edge every down, I think that's a problem for your run defense. And he's just not a good enough pass rusher to give you that all the time. The fact that, you know, the Giants have Lorenzo Carter, they have Marcus Golden on a, you know, he's an expiring free agent. We don't know if he's going to be back, right? But they have the pass rusher whose name I can never pronounce with the X. I don't even know how to pronounce
it. Oshae Ximenez.
There you go. Thanks for doing that for me. Uh-huh. The fact that Fackrell does not have to anchor your pass rush, I think, helps. You know, you have Leonard Williams, you have Dexter Lawrence, guys to eat up blocks. That's when Fackrell is going to be at his best. If you give him a bunch of one-on-one blocks, he can beat him.
What about, and you touched upon this just a little bit, how is he as a run in run defense? Is he, you know, obviously on the defense, they bad. Like their guy. They bad. Like their guys. He's bad.
He's not a good run defender. He is on his butt a lot, because he's not particularly stout at the point of attack. This is the problem with him being a true outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme. It's why I make the Kyle Van Noy comparison, because in the Patriots scheme, Kyle Van Noy does not have to hold that edge. In a 3-4 defense on a consistent basis, he's going to have to do that. It's not what you want him doing on early downs. On early downs, you'd rather have him, you know, shucking tight ends, playing a little bit more in space rather than trying to hold up against offensive tackles or combo blocks with tight ends. That's a problem for him. That's why it was a little bit surprising to see Dave Gettleman show so much interest, because he is a poor run defender. What he can do is offer versatility. It's not the run defense. And maybe the theory is you put Leonard Williams, Dalvin Tomlinson, and Dexter Lawrence out there, and you've got enough space eating that you don't worry about it. And maybe that's right. Maybe that's smart. I think if you're going to look for a defensive line that could open up opportunities for him and places where it would mitigate the issues that he has, I think New York is as good a spot as you could find.
So is Fackrell then more of use on the strong side, the weak side? Is he better off lining up wide? What type of, you know, scenario would see him maybe be productive as a pass rusher?
Yeah, in a perfect world, he's on the weak side. Like I said, you don't want him having to deal with chipping tight ends. You don't want him having to take on combo blocks. So I think as a true pass rusher, you want him to be able to go one-on-one with the offensive tackle from a wide alignment. He's got the speed. He can turn the corner. He's got some burst, a little bit of bend. He's got enough juice as a pass rusher to give you that. it's having to hold up down to down in the run game. And then, you know, against tight ends or whatever it is, that's where you're going to see the struggles.
And then final question on Fackrell. When Pat Graham left the Packers after the 2018 season, did you see any kind of either progress or regression in his game when he got the new position coach?
No, I don't think there was a change really in his evolution. I mean, I think he was pretty similar in 2019 to the player he was in 2018. Again, it was a difference in a little bit of luck. He wasn't quite as lucky converting pressures into sacks. I think he made a lot of progress starting in 2018. That was his breakout season, not just because of the sack numbers. He looked like a better player. And I do think you can give Graham some of that credit. My guess would be that Graham is the guy that said, hey, this guy can get better and he's going to work. In that way, he is a Dave Gettleman type in that he's just going to come in, lunch pail type, do his job, and you don't have to worry about him giving effort. You don't have to worry about him not knowing where to be. The problems that he has are physical limitations, not heart, not mind.
We're speaking with Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers, and this is the Locked On Giants podcast, and we're talking the two Packer linebackers that the Giants agreed to terms with during the free agency period. And Peter, let's turn our attention now to Blake Martinez. And I've seen quite a few people chime in on this with mixed reactions. Some people say that it's a great deal, a great signing. Some people say that Martinez is just not that good. Where do you see him at this point in his development?
My viewpoint of this was there was no more obvious fit in free agency than Blake Martinez with Dave Gettleman and the Giants. And that is because Blake Martinez is an old school downhill run stopping linebacker. And when the Packers decided to downsize and Mike Patton said, we just don't care that much about run defense, we're going to play small. His favorite personnel grouping, this is wild. Mike Patton's favorite personnel grouping last year, the one he used the most, was a 1-4-6. That is not what you want if you're trying to stop the run, right? And so their run defense really struggled as a result. Now, they got a lot of pass rush because a lot of the time that four in that 1-4-6 was three outside linebackers. They had Martinez on the field with Kyler Fackrell and then Preston and Za'Darius Smith a lot. And that, to my point earlier, goes to the versatility that Preston Smith has and that Kyler Fackrell has. Blake Martinez was much better in 2018 and 2017 when the Packers played a little bit bigger, a little bit more traditionally, and they had Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark eating up blocks in the middle. Blake Martinez needs someone in front of him to keep him clean. He's not going to shed blocks. The Giants have those guys. They have Dexter Lawrence and Dalvin Tomlinson and these big dudes up front who can keep offensive linemen off Blake Martinez. I think Blake can get back to being that guy, an impact run defender, someone who can come downhill and really make plays in this defense. He's not going to be the kind of, you know, sideline to sideline Bobby Wagner inside linebacker that I'm sure a lot of Giants fans would like to get. Listen, everyone wants that guy. There aren't that many of them. They're like three in the whole league. Blake's not that guy. I think he'll be better for the Giants than he was for the Packers last year.
Very interesting. Now, a lot of people have said that, you know, since being drafted by Green Bay, Blake Martinez has yet to put together a complete season, that his role has changed from year to year. Yeah. And whereas one year he looks great in coverage, the next year not so much so. Have you seen that as well with him? And if so, what do you think has been the biggest contributing factor to that?
I don't know that he's ever looked great in coverage. What's interesting is he came out of Stanford as someone who said, oh yeah, this guy, if you look at the athletic measurables, he should be a good cover linebacker. He's got enough speed. He's got enough agility. He's a really smart player. And he forced his way onto the field as a rookie because he picked up the game so quickly. Part of this is a schematic difference. So 2017, you know, he's playing in the Dom Capers defense. In 2018, he moves to the Mike Patton defense, and it took him a little while to adjust. And once he started playing with aggression and force, Green Bay's team and defense in particular really started to play well for a stretch there before injuries just absolutely destroyed any chance they had at being a viable group. he started to play downhill a little bit more in the second half of 2018. And then in 2019, we saw him regress. We saw him playing tentatively. He wasn't IDing things quickly. He wasn't playing fast. And he would have good games where he could see things where Green Bay maybe played a little bit more in traditional personnel against teams that wanted to run the ball a little bit more. But, you know, I think the lasting memory for Packer fans of Blake Martinez is going to be him unable to contain and get to the sidelines on Raheem Mostert in the NFC Championship game. That is a problem for him, working through the wash, trying to find angles. If he's not kept clean and able to come downhill, he's going to play tentatively because it's just not what he's good at. You know, I think his confidence was a little bit shot, which is another reason why I think we're going to see a different player in New York.
In terms of both signings or pending signings, if you're a Giant fan, why should you like these?
Well, these are professionals. And that is, I think, an important part of building any team. We know what this team was last year in New York. I mean, you and I sat in the press box next to each other and watched Packers Giants, knowing how that game was going to go, no matter how close it was in the first half, right? And I think part of that is because there is just a lack of professionals on the Giants last year. And I mean that on the field and off the field. These are two guys who are going to come in right away and help perpetuate a culture. You bring in, you know, Kevin Zeitler, and he's someone who, you know, is a veteran. He knows the deal. Some of these other guys, they're still learning. And so to bring in two guys who come in from a Packers culture last year that was turned around by the leadership of Za'Darius Smith, of Preston Smith, and the evolution of guys like Devontae Adams, I think they're going to come to New York feeling like, hey, we can do that here. We can take this young team that has talent at a lot of spots and say, look, if we come together, we can do this. And then there's the on-the-field part. I think Blake Martinez is an upgrade at linebacker. I think Kyler Fackrell has a chance to be an upgrade for them as well on the edge. So not just, you know, the quality of play, but you're getting two really great guys for that locker room as they look to build a new culture under a new head coach.
And then on the flip side, where do Giant fans need to maybe temper their expectations when it comes to those two guys?
Yeah, Blake Martinez on third down, Blake Martinez covering in space. I mean, don't ask him to run with guys up the seam. It's just not what he's good at. So, you know, I think that's something that they'll have to be, you know, aware of. And then Kyler Fackrell in the run game. It's just on early downs, teams are going to run at him and it's not going to be pretty. He's going to have to make his money, whether it's dropping in coverage or rushing the passer, but he's going to have to make his money in the passing game.
Peter, great stuff. Before we let you go, tell everybody where they can find you and social media and your work.
Yeah, so the best way to make sure you're seeing what I'm doing is on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. I'm always tweeting out the podcasts, always tweeting out the stuff that I'm writing. I host Locked On Packers, but I also cover the Packers for SB Nation and Packer Report. So check that stuff out there.
All right. Sounds good. Giant fans, that's Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers. Great stuff. Make sure you check out his podcast. He does a really good job. Peter, thank you so much for the time and for the information. Very informative.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.
All right, Giant fans, I want to thank you for tuning in and listening. As always, really appreciate the time and the listens and the suggestions. We have plenty more coming up on the Locked On Giants podcast. We're going to have Jimmy Stein, who is the one of the co-hosts of Locked On Crimson Tide. He's going to come on the program, and he's going to talk about the Alabama draft prospects. So that show's coming up this week. And hey, look, I also owe you guys and gals a Twitter mailbag. So get those questions in. And if I have enough, I'll do it. I'll do one for Tuesday, next Tuesday. We'll do a Twitter Tuesday. And if we don't get enough by Tuesday, then maybe I'll look to move it to Thursday. But I would like to get a mailbag going. And, you know, I'm sure you guys and gals have questions. So please send those in to me. And I am always happy to try and answer them as best as possible. So, all right, folks, that'll do it for today's show. Again, thank you for listening. This is Patricia Traina for Peter Bukowski. Have a great day.